Cities News Talk. Hour three for a Wednesday.
When it feels like the world is on your shoulders and all of the mad.
Later on this hour, Minnesota lawmakers are considering a proposal that would create a 16-member commission to redesign the state flag. That answers the question of how many people does it take to redesign a state flag.
That's interesting.
They also say our flag's racist, so we'll get into this a little bit. I can't make it up.
I just can't.
In the meantime, this story's been making the rounds. Dr. Scott Jensen, former gubernatorial candidate, family practice doctor, says his medical license is under fire because of a political machine. We're going to talk with Dr. Scott Jensen here in just a moment. First off, though, let me play you some of the audio from the Fox 9 report on this story.
Kelsey, Dr. Jensen says the Minnesota Board of Medical Practice is investigating him for alleged COVID disinformation. And he's taking everything public because he suspects other forces are behind it.
Dr. Scott Jensen went back to his day job after he lost the governor's race in November with just under 45% of the votes.
And now that that's over, I think this may be a time where people think that it's appropriate to exercise authority and potentially punish.
Jensen says a fifth Minnesota Board of Medical Practice investigation into him went dormant during the campaign. But he recently got a letter from the state attorney general's office that it's active again. A notice of conference said the medical board got 18 complaints related to his public comments about COVID-19 and patient care. It discussed him spreading disinformation about vaccines and masks and accused him of promoting conspiracy theories, including that the Minnesota Department of Health told healthcare providers to falsify death certificates by listing COVID-19 as cause of death. Jensen says that claim in 2020 led to the first medical board investigation of his nearly 40-year career. But he says the medical board is just a tool for a political machine attacking him.
They know full well that they're being weaponized. They know that on the basis of these complaints, these are not people who ever received any health care services from me.
Dr. Jensen zeroed in on the involvement of the attorney general's office, which he says didn't happen in the first four investigations. The medical board's executive director told us it's common practice. Quote, the Minnesota Attorney General's office is statutorily assigned to provide legal and investigative services to the Board of Medical Practice and all other health professional regulatory boards. And a deputy chief of staff at the AG's office agreed. Quote, it is standard practice for the AG's office to be involved in all conferences at this stage of the process with the Board of Medical Practice and all the licensing boards.
We are very pleased to welcome to the show one Dr. Scott Jensen. Good morning, sir. How are we doing this morning?
Good, and thank you for having me on.
I guess before we get into, definitely want to focus on this, but I guess I want to ask you, I mean, it's been a while. We haven't talked to you since sort of the postmortem after the election. How have you been? I've seen some of your posts online, some comments, you know, that you've made on social networking. But I'm just curious, you know, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking. My wife and I are at peace. I'm practicing medicine full time. My patients have frequently expressed the fact that they're disappointed that I didn't win the governor's race, but they're pleased to have their doctor back in the office full time. I think running statewide is a remarkable privilege. You meet so many good people, and Mary and I, we rejoice in that, and we've had so many supporters reach out to us, even in the last 48 hours. But I'm doing fine. I felt like I put it all on the line. I didn't leave anything in the tank. I tried to do what I thought was best for Minnesota. I know that I made plenty of mistakes in terms of being klutzy, and I think that for a person who's not a professional politician, that's virtually inevitable when almost everything you say or do is being taped or recorded. But I feel really good about everything.
How close are you paying attention to what's going on? And I'll bring up something that I talked about on yesterday's show. There was an article going back to June of last year from the Minnesota Reformer, where Governor Walz and his campaign spokesperson, you know, had said that they did not support, you know, late term abortions, pushing back on you, saying that the claims that you were making were false. And, you know, here we are on top of the fact of, You know, we know that the DFL painted individuals like yourself and other Republicans as being extremists. And as we've been highlighting on the show, it was pure gaslighting based off of what's been happening within the legislature since the session started. I'm curious to get your thoughts on that and how closely you're paying attention. If it were me, I would have checked out. But where's your head on it?
Well, I'm very cognizant of the fact that I think the liberal machine is hard at work and very effective.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. I was ridiculed for saying that Tim Walz, which supported abortion right up to the time of delivery, and here we are. There were numerous instances. I mean, we've seen it on the tax side. We've got an $18 billion surplus, and Tim Walz's budget proposals call for more increases, whether you're talking about license tab fees, whether you're talking about capital gains, whether you're talking about who gets benefit or relief from Social Security taxation. I think elections have consequences, and people need to realize that.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people are hearing about it because of that. The part of that machine is a lot of the media here, you know. And I, for as much as I wish everybody listened to the show, they don't, unfortunately, and they're not getting a vast majority of this from the mainstream media. I was pleased to see that Fox 9 picked up on your story here. I seen your posts online. Was planning on reaching out to you anyways. I was kind of waiting to see, you know, wanted to get a gauge on how much coverage this was going to get, but. When did you find out that your medical license was under examination again?
Well, it was 15 months ago. It was October of 2021. And I was advised, I'd just a couple months earlier been advised that the fourth investigation had been dismissed outright. So for me, I've had five investigations, and the first four, I was contacted. And basically, in three of those four, I was asked to make a response. I did, and everything was dismissed. One of the four investigations, the medical board took care of without even notifying me until after the fact. They said, we got this complaint, we looked into it, we dismissed it. They had not even asked for a response. But the fifth one came in October of 21, and I reached out to the board. I responded. They asked for some more information. I gave them more information. And really the last contact I had with the Board of Medical Practice was January of 2022. So for 12 months, that investigation lay entirely dormant. I had reached out to the board at one time saying, I have this investigation pending. I have patients asking me if I would be willing to prescribe ivermectin for them. And I said, does the board have a position on that? Because I'm not interested in going against the board.
Sure.
And I was told that the board does not have a position on ivermectin, but they would investigate it if there's a complaint about me doing it. And there had already been that complaint. So I have refrained from prescribing ivermectin for an entire year because I'm not interested in going against the board's, if you will, edicts. But I got nothing for a year, and then Saturday night when I got home, I'd been out of town. There was a large packet in the mail, and it was basically from the Board of Medical Practice, and then there was a letter from the – well, actually, the envelope was from the Attorney General's office because that surprised me, and then I got the letter with the stationery. And both organizations, the Attorney General's office and the Minnesota Board of Medical Practice, had included attachments in the letter.
And again, you've already been through this process with them for previous statements. I guess the biggest question is why now? I mean, this it gives off the appearance of being vindictive, like they're still just trying to get you, even though the race is over. You've moved on with your life. You're simply conducting your practice. As I mentioned earlier this morning, I'm pretty confident that most, if not all, of your patients are aware of who you are. Why do you think this is coming about now?
Well, I think it's an opportunity. I think, to be fair to the Minnesota Board of Medical Practice, they have a job to do. They have a mission.
Sure.
And I believe they're doing it. I think that it's a hard situation for them to deal with the right of free speech and the First Amendment for someone running for governor, someone who is in the Senate, someone who is, if you will, for a variety of reasons, pushed to the front of the line in terms of speaking some of these issues because nobody else was, it seems. So I think the board is trying to do their job, but I cannot believe for a moment that the board does not appreciate that they're being weaponized by trolls on Twitter. I've had threatening phone calls in my office from people saying they will not stop filing complaints to the Minnesota Board of Medical Practice until my license is taken away. I've had this over and over again. We've had to have our phones investigated by, or some of the phone calls investigated by the Carver County Sheriff's Department. I've had to be in contact with the sheriff over and over again. I understand that there are people who despise my politics, but these complaints are not about in-office healthcare services provided by me. These complaints are not about any lack of professional behavior on my part. These complaints are not about me doing something inappropriate with a patient or, if you will, dipping into the medication box. None of these are about that. And that's traditionally where the Minnesota Board of Medical Practice has had to spend a fair amount of its time.
Yeah. It's
These complaints include the fact that on one documentation, evidently they thought my handwriting was sloppy. On another one, someone said that they didn't like the way I reported my involvement as a member of the University of Minnesota Medical School faculty. I had put down that I was a clinical associate professor, which was the position I held the last 5 years I worked with the University of Minnesota Medical School, 5 years or more. But someone said, well, you weren't that title the entire 30 years that you worked with the university. I don't believe I ever said I was. But typically when you report on your resume, your position, you put down how long you were with the organization and your last job title. And that's what I did. This is a witch hunt.
It would be amazing if these individuals could actually go and take the energy that they're putting into trying to take you down into something like productive for their own cause. More of a statement, not a question, Dr. Scott Jensen. It sounds eerily familiar to situations that I deal with in radio as well. And I can only imagine how frustrating it is while you're just simply trying to, you know, to conduct your practice and serve your patients. And again, for the medical board to have their time wasted with this. But of course, they have to go and investigate these things. It's just what an unfortunate situation. Where do things go from here?
Well, I think we walked through the process. I need to have some time. I mean, I've been up till 1 in the morning the last 3 nights trying to put things together, talking with attorneys. I'm not inclined to get legal counsel just because I don't think that the medical board intends to be mean-spirited. I think they want to have a conversation, and that's what I anticipate having. I think that I have grounds for virtually everything I've said, and if I have said something that I don't recall that is problematic, I would want to hear it. And if I thought it was appropriate, I would apologize. But I need to be told something more specifically than simply, this is disinformation and misinformation. We need to make a clear distinction between disinformation and misinformation.
Yeah.
Disinformation is generally considered a deliberate process to, if you will, mislead someone. Misinformation frequently is, this is my opinion at this point in time. And oftentimes as science evolves or as the news evolves or the story evolves, people realize, gee, it isn't this way. So I think that right now there are people out there who must have an awful lot of bitterness in their soul,
mm-hmm.
because I just could never do what some of these people are doing to me.
Well, Dr. Scott Jensen, thank you so much for calling in. It was great talking with you. Keep us up to speed, up to date on what's going on, and hopefully things continue to work out in your favor as they have in the past or as it relates to your medical practice.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Great talking with you. You know, the desire on the activist progressive left and their need for control, you know, it speaks volumes to how unnatural their views and opinions and ideologies are. Like, tyrannies are fragile. They really are. So you have to control every aspect of it that you possibly can to maintain that type of power, because it's not rooted in truth. You know, it's a power structure built on sand that you have to keep building on to keep it up. I'm not surprised. It's pathetic and sad, but I'm not surprised to hear there are individuals that are wasting their own time by wasting Dr. Scott Jensen's time. He lost the election, and it's not enough for people. It's just like the DFL and them getting the trifecta of power. It wasn't enough for them to win. No, man, they've got to move at a lightning pace. By the way, I had a friend of the show reach out to me and mentioning why the legislature is moving so fast. I hadn't thought about this, and I'll leave you with this. We'll get to your talkbacks coming up here in a moment. I'll explain why DEI and ESG and critical race theory is going to be harming our medical practice very soon. But people are hearing that those familiar with the legislature, one reason they're fast-tracking the bills is there are a fair number of new legislators who would typically be given a grace period to learn the ropes, but instead are being forced to be team players and to vote in lockstep with their comrades. Makes all the sense in the world. And we had a talkbacker, too, and I just want to mention this, and we'll go to break. We had a talkbacker that said, you know, with regard to the lack of committee hearings and debate and amendments, you know, those debates are only really necessary if you're actually interested in hearing another person's view or opinion on a particular issue. And clearly the DFL has no interest at all, which really just speaks to what a lie, what a straight-up, bold-faced lie it was and continues to be that Governor Tim Walz pushes this one Minnesota idea. It's an absolute lie.
Good morning. Interesting discussion on debating in the legislature, but debate is only valuable if there are people whose votes are in question or if they want to find out more information. No Democrat, though, is voting against their party. So in essence, debate is worthless.
Pretty crazy. About 2,000 years ago, there was this guy running around talking about love thy neighbor and stuff. And everyone else during the time labeled him as disinformation and misinformation. So, not much has changed in, you know, a couple millennia. We're so screwed.
Good morning, John and Robbie. Due to some great technology, I'm calling you today from the warmer state of Arizona, taking a two-week break from that cold. I just wanted to comment on Dr. Scott Jensen. Not only is it a tragedy that he is not our governor and we are left with taxing Timmy Walz, but the way that they are going after him and have gone after him with his medical license, don't these people have anything better to do? As I once heard, the communists never quit. Have a great day, everyone. Stay safe.
Hey, y'all. The situation regarding Dr. Jensen, they're doing to him what they're trying to do to Trump. And they're also trying to show the people of Minnesota that if we cross them, they will come after us and just try to destroy your lives. This is what they're trying to show, and this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to scare everybody into not standing up.
Yep. They want to make sure that the next Dr. Scott Jensen thinks twice before they go and run for office. Part of what they're doing now in the legislature, and welcome back to Twin Cities News Talk, John Justice, producer Robbie, and thank you for the talkbacks via the iHeartRadio app. What they're trying to do in the legislature right now is an extension of that. Just brute force. They're drunk on power. And their policies are unnatural. And that's why they have to control, because they know that. So they got to get everything passed as quick as possible. They don't want to hear any debate. But they also don't want people to know what's really going on. In the meantime, individuals like Dr. Scott Jensen, who dared to step out and speak truth and present facts and just question. I mean, one thing in the report we didn't get to was the aspect that the Fox 9 reporter brought up of the hospital reports and how the COVID deaths were classified and the amount of funding that was going to hospitals based off of the classification of those particular deaths. These weren't just arbitrary things that were brought up. These weren't just things that were pulled out of thin air. I wonder if they're doing this. No, we talked about it on the show. We had the information. We had the facts. Here are the rules as it relates to how individuals are classified with COVID in a hospital. Here is what happens if an individual passes away based off of some other factor and how they will be classified as COVID. Here is the amount of money hospitals are receiving for COVID-related deaths. Gee, I wonder if there's a correlation. And that's what how can he question it? It's based off of actual evidence. There's nothing wrong with having an opinion. There's nothing wrong with asking a question. But see, the DFL they don't like that. The left and the radical progressives, they don't like that. They don't want you to know everything that's happening. We talked about the registration fees for automobiles buried in the transportation bill. They want to move these through as quick as possible. They broke up the abortion bills, the more egregious aspect of it moving through. Now they're going to pass it as quick as possible because they also know that they've written the headlines over the codifying of abortion that Governor Tim Walz did earlier this week. So these secondary ones aren't being discussed because the vast majority of the media is like, well, we covered that over here. I know there's this other one over here, but we don't have to cover. That's kind of egregious. And I think there's a lot of liberals that also don't like the idea of what this other bill is doing. Governor Tim Walz certainly didn't last year when he was running for office as it relates to late-term abortions, but that whole tune has changed right now, and he potentially gets a little bit of political cover as it relates to these issues. Plus, as we talked about with Rob Dorr earlier, if they move these through as fast enough and as quickly as possible with as little scrutiny as possible, then they put more distance between the passage of these horrible atrocities and the next election cycle, and hopefully people will forget. I know other people have mentioned this via the talkback, but yeah, if you're planning on running for office, especially in some of these districts that we talked about earlier that are vulnerable on the Senate side, like you almost just need to start running now. You almost just need to start door knocking and be like, why are you? We're not in an election cycle, but we're going to be within a certain amount of time. And I want you to know right now what they're doing. But as it relates to Dr. Scott Jensen, no, they're relentless. They don't want the next Dr. Scott Jensen to come up. Cracks me up when a new person finds this show. Makes me laugh. When we have a new fan of the show, man, it did happen. I always feel like, one, I'm doing something right. But two, it makes me laugh when we find a new fan of the show and suddenly this new fan of the show feels like, oh, I'm gonna get him. I'm gonna be the one to get him. It's like 27 years I've been doing this. It just cracks me. It's like, there's another one. They haven't heard the show yet, and they're very triggered by what I have to say on the air. And
I'm speechless.
They're having a very difficult time. And oh, but they're going to be. Oh, I'm going to get him. I know, man. Get in line. 651-989-5855. Feel free to use the talkback feature on the iHeartRadio app. Okay, let's go here. Here's a piece written by Kenny Yu. Kenny Yu is the president of Color Us United, keeping with the healthcare theme. Author of the book An Inconvenient Minority. He writes this. Imagine you're under the scope. The operating lights partially blind you as you drift into an anesthetic-induced coma. Talked about that earlier. Of course, a little bit less anesthesia than before. Possibility of you waking up, but it's to save the planet, guys, because we can't use anesthesia as much as we used to, because when somebody has an operation, I can only imagine how much mine was. It's like 470 miles of a person driving a fossil fuel-burning automobile down the road and destroying the planet. Barely clinging to consciousness as the doctors surround you and prepare to fix your heart. Kenny, you wrote this. I didn't, but obviously I could relate. You can only hear the flickers of conversation before you go, but one line is unmistakable. The last thing you hear out of your surgeon is, I don't know how to handle these tongs. You may think there's no chance our medical schools will ever produce such an unqualified physician, but the lowering of standards in medicine is already happening and will get consistently worse until Americans put a stop to it. And by the way, let me just take a moment of deviation here. Because we've already seen this potentially, I want to choose my words carefully, potentially play out in a real world scenario. Victoria Marshall has a piece today talking about two of the five police officers charged in the fatal beating of Tyree Nichols were hired by the Memphis Police Department after it relaxed its hiring requirements. This is according to a report from the New York Post. The department was so desperate for recruits at the time because of the amount of retirees, because they were so short on officers, they offered $15,000 in signing bonuses in 21 and 22 and waivers for applicants who had been convicted of felonies. And even this did not prevent the force from still being down 500 officers in January of 2022. A month before these two officers were hired, the former deputy director of MPD told the Memphis Commercial Appeal that the rise of violent crime in the city could be attributed to the police department's understaffing and lack of manpower. These two individuals were hired during the summer of the George Floyd riots. So again, we don't know if this was a factor in what happened with Tyree Nichols, but when we're looking at the totality of it, it needs to be entered into the equation. So when we talk about this as it relates to our medical field, no, this is not a far cry. New evidence is emerging from the University of North Carolina School of Medicine that shows the school pledging to integrate social justice into the curriculum with anti-racist components into the entirety of their healthcare system. And you might as well go ahead and take this story and just apply the University of Minnesota, because exactly the same thing is happening. They're having to take your DEI ESG pledges like it's some religion. Not talking about making sure that what they're doing is in the best interest of the patient. No, it's equity. It's diversity, equity. They're pledges of diversity, equity, and inclusion. So as I go through the rest of this piece, not in its entirety, just picked out the points that you need to hear about. Again, this is the university. This is the University of North Carolina School of Medicine. The exact same thing is happening here at the University of Minnesota. And by example, University of Minnesota Center blames white supremacy for the Memphis incident. I mean, it's already in the school. So, of course, it's going to happen in the medical part of it as well. Your phone calls and talkbacks coming up. You're listening to Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM.
In my shoes, my toes are busted. My kitchen says my bread is molded.
All right, before we get back to how DEI... By the way, I just as a lighter note, because it makes me laugh, I still have such a difficult time with the diversity, equity, and inclusion being DEI, because my brain just goes to Dale Earnhardt Incorporated. I just, every single time, especially as NASCAR... I don't want to switch it. I don't want to associate. I mean, prefer to associate it with Dale Earnhardt Sr.
A lot of wrestling fans like myself had a problem when the World Wildlife Fund sued the World Wrestling Federation and won.
There was a long period of time where I actually thought the two were connected. Like I thought it was some like Gone Green thing where they just they had co-opted each other.
You think like animals are like wrestling in the ring?
I thought that it was.
What a perfect segue, because it's Wednesday, and that means tonight at 9 p.m. on TBS, episode 3 of the Power Slap League.
Oh, no, I'm good.
Oh, yes,
I'm good.
Turn it on, folks.
I'm good.
9 p.m., TBS.
I would do pay-per-view to watch the DFLers partake in the Power Slap League. Oh, my God. It would be amazing.
Like Amy against like Michelle Fishbach.
I'm not naming names. Okay. I'm not. Okay. I am not.
Are you trying to say that I'm dumb?
I mean, we'll let you go first, Amy. You can bring your tater tot hot dish.
All right, before we get back to this, let's go and talk with Nicole and Cham Hassan. Nicole, it feels like it's been a while since we've spoken, so thanks for calling in.
It has been a while, and I got to critique you here a little bit, John.
Uh-oh.
I think you're misunderstanding Walt when he says one Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
I think it's just an abbreviation of the truth, which is he's the one, comma, Minnesota.
Yeah.
He's the one, Minnesota, that ruined education. He's the one that destroyed our economy. He's the one that's destroying health care. He's the one responsible for the carnage in the state. He's just telling you what he's doing.
Well, there's another way to look at this too, Nicole, and thank you for the phone call. I do not take that as a slight. I appreciate your comments as always. There's another way to look at this too, though. It is in what Walls is doing, because it is such a blatant lie. It is. I mean, it was when he started. Everybody knows this. Even people that voted for walls. And people aren't that dumb. They know. But his use of that and his slogan of One Minnesota, because everybody knows that, he doesn't care about the other party. You're not. I'm not a part of it. He doesn't represent me in his mind. He doesn't represent you unless you're a fan of the show. If you're a friend of the show, he doesn't represent you. If you're a fan of the show, he represents you. He doesn't represent you. I mean, just like the DFL right now during the legislative session, they don't want to hear from any Republicans. They might as well not even bother showing up. They don't care. So he talks about One Minnesota. No, he is talking. It's his vision. The article that we'll get to on tomorrow's show from Center of the American Experiment, of the DFL trying to drive people out of Minnesota. They probably are. That's going to be detrimental to them because they're going to need the money for everything that they want to do. But it really is, the One Minnesota slogan is a slight, because he doesn't consider people like me as being a Minnesotan. Or you, if you're a friend of the show. Right? I'd work with Republicans, but they get everything, but they're wrong every damn time. Those were his words. The area of the state that's red, which is the larger area, I know we're not talking populace, we're just talking size, is a larger area, as Rob Dorr pointed out earlier this morning, right? This goes back to the rocks and cows line from Governor Tim Walz from a couple of years ago. He meant that. He doesn't care about people in the red areas. He only cares about the concentrated small blue areas. That's the One Minnesota. So focused is the University of North Carolina School of Medicine on anti-racism that a new study shows that they have a 92% compliance rate with a national diversity, equity, and inclusion inventory. DEI is an extremely dangerous ideology that threatens to label institutions as racist unless they comply with outrageous demands made by DEI officers. These demands include forcing medical faculty to sign DEI statements, cutting doctor hours to learn about unconscious bias, and grading doctors on their inclusivity rather than their medical performance. I wish that we had been paying better attention. We gave it its due mocking over things like microaggressions when they popped up. Certainly, South Park did a good job of mocking it as well. Talking about the race war. Unfortunately, we didn't do a good enough job. Unfortunately, we didn't stop it. Because this is what it turned into. The whole idea of the inception of microaggressions into the young brains of impressionable people, it stuck. So that when they moved forward with their DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, they had moldable brains that were already susceptible to this nonsense. One of the immediate harms that DEI is inflicting upon the UNC's medical quality is the recruitment of doctors. The UNC School of Medicine, and again, you can apply this to the University of Minnesota, not on the specificity of what they're detailing of what's actually happening at the University of North Carolina, but in that you could assume that something similar is happening with the University of Minnesota because of their own inclusion of DEI into their mantras, into their oaths that they're taking now as students head into medical school. The UNC School of Medicine has already pledged to practice holistic admissions, meaning they actively admit lesser qualified doctor candidates who fit certain demographics over more qualified white and Asian doctors. In other words, they are admitting, according to the story here from Kenny Yu, they are admitting black and Latino doctors with lower MCAT scores and grades over white and Asian doctors with higher MCAT scores and grades. The entire school is actually facing a Supreme Court lawsuit for this practice in their undergraduate program. So before you start feverishly going and typing in, this is racist things Johns is saying. No, they're facing a Supreme Court lawsuit because of this. Because you know it's racist. It is possible that MCAT scores are not predictive of how good a doctor will eventually turn out to be, although the MCATs are correlated with performance on medical boards. Sure, but is medicine really the place to practice such social experiments? Another grave issue with DEI in medicine is the bad health advice that indoctrinated doctors will soon give to patients. The UNC School of Medicine's required textbook, The Social Medicine Reader, analyzes health disparities through a lens of intersectionality, talking about how racism impacts health incomes. Any good doctor knows the predominant cause of ills in a person is that person's own family, genes, environment, and life choices, not racism. That's why COVID predominantly affected those who were sick, obese, old, and sedentary. And yet the medical community, the progressive medical community, tried to blame the pandemic's effect on Black Americans as racism. A good doctor would tell his patient, honestly, but frankly, if he wants to lower his risk for disease, he should commit to a pattern of diet and exercise. But the UNC Medical School now claims in its task force to integrate social justice that health disparities are primarily determined by structural factors rather than biological ones or individual behaviors. And suddenly now you get a much better picture and reason why Park Nicollet and Methodist Hospital decided to adorn all of their walls from now and through March with anti-police rhetoric that they call art as it relates to the death of George Floyd. It's all messaging. This is bad advice and bad medicine. Medical mistakes are the third leading cause of death in the United States right now, below heart disease and cancer, according to the study. This precarious medical environment, should UNC really be aligning its focus to combat racism rather than the immediate health needs of its partners? How bad can it get? Well, the Chinese immigrant Helen Raleigh, whose mother worked as a doctor during the Cultural Revolution, states it best. Medical students spent less time on learning medicine, but more time on political indoctrination. Once graduated, these young doctors didn't know much about how to treat patients in real life. It's time to say we don't want a cultural revolution in healthcare. And yet that's exactly what is happening. I had a story last week. Children's Minnesota, Minnesota Children's Hospital. What are they putting their doctors through? It's DEI training. They're bringing in Cabbage Patch Kids, essentially, to show how racism enters into their decision-making through their unconscious bias. Why? Because an individual in the hospital complained, just as an example, that somebody across the hall got more attention than they did, and they believe it's because of the color of their skin, completely discounting the fact that the healthcare professionals have to go and determine the level of care based off the need of the patient. And I'm going to venture a guess that the person across the hall probably was dealing with more severe medical issues than the other individual was. I went through similar things while I was in the hospital. I had to share a room with a person who was dealing at the moment with something much worse than what I was going through at the time. And guess who got more attention in the room? The other guy. I'll post a link for this. This is from Kenny Yu. Again, Kenny Yu is the president of Color Us United, the author of the book An Inconvenient Minority, and I pulled this particular article off of The Federalist. I've had it in my hands for a bit of time here, so I'll put a link up on Twitter using the hashtag TCNT if you want to check it out for yourself. All right, choose your own adventure here. Robbie, do we want to talk? I'll let you choose. You ready? Okay, we got enough time. Yeah, we got enough time.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to talk our racist Minnesota flag, or would you like to enter language class and learn of another word we're not supposed to use anymore?
Ooh, tough decision.
I mean, can always do one tomorrow, but I can only do one right now. Which one do you want?
Can I phone a friend? Can I phone producer Brett?
No, because we're short on time because we have
all
to
right,
recap.
We'll go
soon.
With story number two. Let's go with the language.
You want to go with the language?
Yeah, let's
all
go
right.
with the language.
All right, all we'll go with the language. Right,
show me language. All
right. There you go. So we learned earlier this week that you can't label groups of people with the.
Yeah.
You know, for example, the DFL House members are terrible. You can't do that. Or the French. Representative Gwen Moore, a Democrat out of Wisconsin.
Okay.
Strongly objected to the renaming of the subcommittee because the new name contained the term, you ready?
Yes.
Welfare.
Oh, my gosh.
During a procedural meeting of the House Ways and Means Committee, a number of Democrat members asked why the Subcommittee on Worker and Family Support would be renamed the Subcommittee on Work and Welfare. Moore remarked, I find it amazing that this committee would deliberately add a pejorative to the names of subcommittees. It is not true that denying people benefits would enable them to escape poverty. No, the American Rescue Plan is what kept people who were poor from falling into deep, deep poverty. I didn't realize that now we can't use the term welfare anymore. The Ways and Means Committee Chair Jason Smith responded saying, the focus that we are going to have is to try to uplift people out of poverty, and contended the best way to uplift people out of poverty was with work. Representative Mike Thompson asked whether Smith was trying to shame people who accept welfare. Look, if you're on welfare and you feel ashamed, that's on you. There are plenty of people that take welfare and have no shame whatsoever that they are on welfare.
No, zero.
None.
No, none. I saw some videos this morning of people just brazenly walking into Walgreens, yes, and walking out with shopping bags full of things.
They don't care.
From makeup to body wash to laundry detergent to paper plates.
Yeah. The left cracks me up because they always shoot down anything to indicate or point out to this. It's like, they don't understand and they don't care. But there are people, they wear it like it's a badge of honor. Like, look what I'm getting away with. Check this out.
Are you trying to say that I'm dumb?
I'm not paying for any of this.
No.
This is clearly about words and definitions, added Mike Thompson, the Democrat. Your party is the one that we don't know if you can say, oh, this is going back to the other one. You don't know if you can say man or woman or birthing person or mother. It's clearly all about work and welfare. Representative Danny Davis concurred with Moore that the name change has racial implications. Oh, my gosh. Moore went on to say that she should wear her welfare queen tiara to future meetings. We know what the intent of the use of the word is, she continued. You're telling us right now that the whole focus of this subcommittee is going to be to demonizing particularly women who have children, and I don't appreciate it. It's funny because the individuals that are like complaining more about it are the dumb.
Sadly,
the progressive.
We've come to the end of the show.
Robbie, can you give us a recap, please?
And today's rundown and recap are brought to you by the Sandvold Financial Group. The 8 a.m. hour, we can go backwards again. The 6 a.m. hour, we went over the five things you need to know in Robbie's rundown, including stories on a longtime Minnesota senator passing away, blackout license plates could be coming to the state soon, and a green comet could be visible as soon as tonight under the stars. In the 7 a.m. hour, we spoke with Representative Tom Tiffany from Wisconsin, talking about concerns with the Biden administration's tactics at our southern border, plus a Gone Green update, and we checked in with Rob Dorr from the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus from the state legislature on several topics. While in the 8 a.m. hour, we spoke with Dr. Scott Jensen about what he's been up to since Election Day and the persecution he's facing from the left, plus we played your talkbacks and took some calls all morning long. If you missed any of today's program, listen to the podcast at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com or download it wherever you consume your audio. Good show today, John, on a wild Wednesday.
Katie Pavlich just texted me. She wrote, good to go.
Okay, fun.
No context there. I just mean it's just things good. We're all going to hell. I'm just kidding. No, I asked her. She'll be on with us tomorrow right around this time.
That'll be fun.
Also on tomorrow's show, we'll talk about one university, speaking of colleges, that's installing emergency contraceptive vending machines. Quick, I need a condom.
Jeez. I can't even. It would have come in
handy.
You're
going to have to. I need somebody to run the board.
They would have come in handy back when.
R. Kelly got off on charges.
That's a good thing you added that.
So to be clear on that.
Please.
All right. We're back at it tomorrow, 6:05. Katie Pavlich will be joining us on tomorrow's show. We'll look for your talkbacks overnight. I don't know how many came in during that segment. Are we doing a post show today? Are we in post-show territory?
I do not think we're in post-show territory today, but I have a feeling.
Oh, that's right.
With tomorrow's topics.
That's right. We might be on post-show territory tomorrow.
Correct.
All right. Have yourself a fantastic day. A couple more days of cold, and then we get some 30s back into the mix. I'm looking forward to that, and looking forward to talking to you tomorrow morning. Bye.